Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexrode from The Athletic. And Joe, real quickly before we bring Darren McFarland into the fold, I mentioned John Gabriel Pageau getting traded from Ottawa to the New York Islanders in the last segment. He is not under contract next year. He's an unrestricted free agent after this year. So they got a first-round pick back this year, a second-rounder back this year, and a third-rounder in 2022. That is a heck of a return for an unrestricted free agent after this year.
You just told me people weren't paying big for rentals anymore, Robbie.
I lied.
They're paying big for rentals.
David Poile needs to sell everyone now.
Sell away.
Well, let's bring in Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick, and Chase, presented by Craneworks, serving the Southeast for over 30 years. Visit craneworks.com. Darren, what's going on, my man? How are you?
That's called a haul. That's exactly what Ottawa just got, a haul.
It sure is. That's hard to believe. Man. I mean, he's a really good player, but like, he's not, you know, a superstar or anything like that. That's incredible.
Well, what's interesting is who would you favor? I mean, give me the favorite in the Eastern Conference. I mean, the lock favorite right now to go into the playoffs.
Well, I think a lot of people would probably say Tampa, given the recent run that they've been on. But I mean, I think when I look at it, Tampa, Boston, Washington, Pittsburgh, all those teams to me are right there together.
What do you think about Kovalchuk now with them? Does that change your thinking at all?
But that's what I'm getting at. I mean, you can't definitively. I mean,
no.
Tampa has been on a roll for a while, but I mean, let's be perfectly honest. You know, their playoff history here of late has not been great. I mean, Boston is the team you trust the most, right? But I mean, you also have to trust Pittsburgh. I mean, they kind of know how this thing works, too.
They do.
And now you've got the Capitals. They kind of figured it out, too. I mean, I'm just saying that's impressive considering the Eastern Conference is loaded. And you could make a case for a lot of teams ending up in the final and winning it all. And yet they're all going to go for it, give up a lot, and try to beat each other's brains in the playoffs.
So, Darren, as we sit here today on NHL trade deadline day, what do you make of the Predators and the position they're in, and how do you think David Poile should approach today?
Well, if you're asking me how he should approach, then you're asking me my opinion, and I've been pretty consistent with my opinion, and my opinion is to stand pat. I mean, I nothing's changed for me. I mean, I just think, to me, it's about this team. This team has been there, done it. They know what this looks like, feels like, how it finishes, what you have to do. And it's up to them to get themselves out of this. They put themselves in this position as we're getting close to, well, we're going to wrap up the month of February this week, and we're going into the final month of the season. To me, if I'm David Poile, you've paid everybody. They have big contracts. They've been rewarded. They've had lots of success. And this season hasn't gone the way they've wanted it to through 61 games, but yet they're still on the doorstep of a playoff position. And Rocco Grimaldi said it best Saturday night. One, there's no style points for winning games. I mean, he didn't say this about the Columbus game. I referenced him because he said all you have to do is get in. And we've been saying that forever, right? It's true, especially in the Western Conference this year. Get in and see what happens. So, I mean, what we've seen is adding a player, which – it's not going to be a big impact player. What is that really going to do? I ask both of you. What is that really going to do? What is that really going to change?
It doesn't change anything unless the top players get going like they should be going.
Exactly. So, I mean, what are we talking about? Their trade deadline move is for within. Get going within. I mean, that's the move. So, to me, I wouldn't give up anything. But, I mean, David Poile is no stranger to trading, and he's not afraid to trade. And I wouldn't be surprised I know there was a minor league deal done over the weekend, and Mika Salamaki's gone. But, you know, me, I wouldn't do anything, and I would just leave it up to this group, John Hines, and say, okay, you're right on the doorstep of the playoffs. You've got, what is it now, 22 more games, 21 more games. Figure it out. Get in the playoffs, and let's see what happens.
All right, well, let's flip it around. I'll throw this hypothetical at Robbie. I'll throw it at you, Darren. Let's say someone's just in love with Mikael Granlund and first-round pick and then some for Granlund is sitting there for David Poile. And any consideration?
Joe, we know nobody's overpaying at the deadline.
That's right.
that scenario doesn't happen. Come on. it's that is the tough one, right? Like, how do you trade away the guy who's been the hottest under your new head coach? I mean, that is the conundrum that David Poyle will be in. That's why I don't envy his job. He has to figure out, you know, what do I do? He has to also be the overseer of the future of the franchise. And he's done a great job of that over two decades, always looking ahead and projecting ahead. And, you know, you have to, in that room, Joe, ask yourself and the people in that room, realistically, is Granlin coming back? And I don't know the answer. I suspect it's a no. They won't be able to afford him. So if the answer is a no, and you're the overseer of the future, I think it's difficult. It's a difficult decision, because how do you say no to that? But also, then you're telling your team that's on the doorstep of a playoff spot, we're going to take away one of your better pieces, or in this case, you could say one of your best pieces. I mean, he has been tremendous under John Hines, and so you're trading away a productive player when you're trying to get into the playoffs. So I didn't really answer it, Joe, because it's really tough to answer, and I'm glad I'm not in the position to make that decision, because I don't think, in all honesty, I don't think it's crazy to think, we just talked about the Eastern Conference especially, that now everybody keeps making moves, somebody gets really desperate and says, fine, I didn't want to do this, but then here's my best offer. And they may blow David away, and so that may present itself. And then they'll have to shut the door in that room and figure out what's best for this team moving forward and down the road.
Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick, and Chase on the line with us, presented by Crane Works. And Darren, let's just get right to it. Tom Brady rumors have been circulating for weeks now, and some of them have him going to the Tennessee Titans. And we were talking about this question earlier in the show. What is the better
building, Robbie, on Saturday? Everybody else was in Bridgestone Arena on Saturday. I didn't see Tom Brady. I feel like I saw every other NFL coach.
I think he and Gronk were hanging out in the corner somewhere over there.
Okay. I was just curious, because I know Jeff Fisher was in the house. I know Rob and Rex Ryan were in the house. We know Mike Vrabel was in the house. I was just curious if Tom Brady was there too. And
it was like an NFL coaching symposium at Bridgestone Arena on Saturday.
I think Brady was touring a school. Yeah. I'm not sure.
But, Darren, we were talking about this earlier in the show. What's the better route for the Titans? Do you go all in with Brady for the next year, maybe 2 years, or are you more comfortable signing Ryan Tannehill to a longer-term deal? And what I mean by longer-term is 3-4 years and go that route. If I asked you that question, what are the Titans better off doing, what would your answer be?
Are you saying, like both options are there on the table?
That's what
like
I'm saying, yeah, both
a
options.
A or B.
That's right.
Door one or door two? Which door did you say Tom was behind?
Door one.
That would be the door I'm selecting. I mean, I don't even know what we're talking about. I mean, I understand what Ryan Tannehill did, but, I mean, you have a chance to get Tom Brady, and we're really sitting here. I mean, just say it out loud. Joe, say it out loud. I want Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady. Say that out loud for the listeners.
Okay.
I want everybody to hear you.
Okay, I will. But first I'm going to say this out loud. 43 years old. But, okay. Yes, I will say it, Darren. I would pick Ryan Tannehill right now over Tom Brady.
And you don't feel weird saying that?
Like, yes, honestly, I do a little bit.
You're not looking around going, did I just say that? I mean, really, I just said I'll take Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady. You don't feel weird saying that?
A little bit. I'm not going to lie. I feel a little weird. And it does. It's like there's a little tingle every time I say it. But I keep saying it.
Yeah. You should have that tingle, by the way. You should have that feeling, because it's just, you shouldn't be saying that out loud. Because just think about what you're saying. It was great. Nobody. Look, if it's not Tom Brady, we're not having this discussion. That's where everybody needs to keep this in mind. This is not a slight at what Tannehill did. If there is no Tom Brady discussion and he's already said, I'm back in New England and I'm re-upping and that's that and that book is closed, everybody stop talking about it, we know what the answer is. We know it's Ryan Tannehill, right? Okay, how's John Robinson going to do this? Is he going to put a tag on him? Is he going to give him a contract? How is this going to work? That's the discussion. But you're asking me if it's realistically on the table, how in the world can you pick Ryan Tannehill over Tom Brady?
Because you don't Brady's the same player. That's how you'd pick it.
Based on what? His decline of only passing for 4,000 yards and winning 12 games with a team that wasn't as talented as the Titans?
Yeah, he threw it, what, 600 how many times? I mean, you know, he had – look, if there's a quarterback stat that I believe in, yards per attempt, Tannehill led the NFL 9-6. Brady was 6-6, which is not a good number. That's how much he passed the ball. Now, I understand the supporting cast. I get it. I'm not saying this is a slam dunk, but 31 versus 43 does mean something to me. Also, Tannehill in this specific offense with what he does, and he does some things Brady can't do, like move, that also matters to me.
So let me just get this straight, since Tom Brady has arrived in the 40s. And maybe this is the old guy taking up for older people.
I mean, I'm with you on that, believe me.
Since he's arrived in his 40s, he has lost in the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, lost in the wild card round, and he's done. Now he's done. Like, that's it. Like, that's what he's done in his 40s. Lost in the Super Bowl. Let's all say it out loud. Won the Super Bowl. Lost in a wild card, and now, finally, he's done.
I mean, that is going to happen, though, right? I mean, at some point,
yes.
Like, he gets older every day, just like you and I do, right?
Unfortunately, yes. Unfortunately, this last birthday, I had to tack on another year, yes.
It's all about that pliability, baby. Get that pliability going, just like Tom Brady.
Robbie's just like, whatever, you guys. Just chilling in my 20s.
I know. Let's leave the young guy out of this old guy discussion.
It's an old guy discussion.
Both of you have hair.
Fair point.
I just asked you. So now it's over. So let me ask you something. So you would fault Mike Vrabel and John Robinson, because I'm bringing him Vrabel, because Vrabel, as we all know, is a key ingredient. Usually we just bring up the general manager, but in this case it has to be the head coach too, because without him, this discussion isn't happening. So you would fault them if Tom Brady finished his career in Nashville, Tennessee with the Titans and it didn't work out. You would fault them. You would hammer them and say, how dare they go out and get Tom Brady to Nashville?
No.
You would do that?
No, I wouldn't hammer. I mean, look, I think it's close. But I would, if I was just given that choice that you just had in two doors, I'm going Tannehill. And look, it is close to me, and if Tannehill were to go somewhere else and this was all a mirage, it was just this 1 year, then I'll apologize. I just don't think it was. I think we saw 13 weeks. I mean, the thing you said early in this whole discussion is, oh, yeah, Tannehill, nice. He was the number one quarterback in the NFL this year for a team that couldn't protect the quarterback very well, and it's not like he was throwing to, you know, Randy Moss and T.O. I mean, A.J. Brown's a nice young rookie receiver. There's a lot of, I mean, I saw for 13 straight weeks, and I know he didn't have big numbers in the playoffs, but I saw this guy perform at a high level. I don't know why you want to give that up.
13 weeks, his body of work. You're going
sure.
on 13 weeks. Yep, there you
go. But that's right now. But Darren, that's right now. I mean, you can talk about rings with Brady. Well, Terry Bradshaw has four of them. I don't want him anywhere near my football field right now. I mean, he is getting old. 43 is really old, man. I mean, you got to admit it.
Wow.
He just compared Tom Brady to Terry Bradshaw. That was awesome.
I mean,
that really
like,
just happened.
Terry Bradshaw's, what, 70 now? I mean, you just compared him to a 70. I mean, what? What just happened?
He's closer to Terry Bradshaw than we are to Robbie. All right, I'm getting the wrap up.
I get real quick, because I'm going to use a hockey. I'm going to use a hockey reference to bring the young guy back in. So were we supposed to fault David Poyle for bringing in Peter Forsberg and going for it?
No.
Hall of Fame hockey player?
No.
It didn't work out. Okay, it didn't work out. But I remember when that trade happened. I know because I reported it. I was the one that broke the news. Okay, and I remember the reaction from everybody. Everybody went out of their minds in excitement. Out of their minds. Peter Forsberg is coming to Nashville. Holy crap. And it didn't work out. So what? We're supposed to fault the GM for going for it when everybody was on board and out of their minds crazy about Peter Forsberg coming here. It didn't work out. So, okay, let's say you're right, Joe. Tom Brady comes here and he doesn't work out. So we're supposed to fault John Robinson and Mike Vrabel. Like, how dare you go out and bring Tom Brady to our city?
Well, selfishly, we'll all be very excited.
Yes, we will. It'll be a great day here in Nashville.
All right. I'm sure Robbie's got the helicopters going. Come on.
I do. All right, that's all right.
And it.
Darren McFarland has been our guest, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. D-Mac, you're the man. Thanks for coming on with us this morning. We appreciate it.
I got to get off here. I'm old. I got to go eat lunch, you know, and then a nap, and then
oatmeal
dinner for.
You go do that.
All right. See you guys.
We'll continue this discussion about Tom Brady on the other side of the break. You're listening to Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.